Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on each week and break bread with you, amen? They have a program which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can call this number to listen to it live, amen? That's 917-388-4161. There are also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and their senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and the worship service starts at 10 a.m. You can also catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at noon, you can actually call this number and listen to it live. Amen? And they also have Bible studies every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at their location. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. Hope you had a blessed week so far. Such a beautiful day this morning. Sun is shining, birds are chirping, nice breeze outside. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song.
Won't change how God sees me. My success and my failure both work together for the good. God erased the pain of yesterday, and in exchange, new life is what he gave. God calls me by my name, not the mistakes that I made. Oh, oh, I
conqueror.
Glory to God. I am who God says I am. A lot of people who knew me back then, my nickname used to be Q. Q was short for quick. Quick to do anything. I was what you call a daredevil. If anybody wanted me to do anything, all they had to do was dare me. Q, I dare you. Q, I bet you won't. Q. But that's not who I am anymore. I am who God says I am. A son of God. A born again believer. A Christian, more than a conqueror, an overcomer, the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I am who God says I am. Glory to God. And so are you. You are who God says you are. Glory to God. Thank you once again for calling in. We're going to get into the word. Amen. I'm going to be coming out of the book of 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 13. And it reads, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The title of the message this morning, as we shared last week, it's a three-part series, but the title is Rapture Ready. And we began the series with the first one being identifying who you are. And last week we left off, we weren't able to finish this particular first part of the series. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue the second part of identifying who you are. Let us pray. Father, thank you for waking us up this morning, God, to see another day that you have made. For we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, God, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you will have to say this morning, to equip us, to encourage us, to build us up, to make us ready, Father, to prepare us to go into this world and do what you called us to do, to seek and save that which is lost. Thank you for your word, Father, your word that heals, your word that saves, your word that delivers, your word that sets free them that are captive, that are bound, that are chained by the world of sin, God. Thank you for your Son Jesus, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins, Father, to down the cross, to conquer sin, death, and hell and the grave, Father. And thank you for raising him up on the third day with all power, God, and receiving him in heaven, his precious blood. Thank you, Father, for Holy Spirit, our comforter, our guide, our teacher. And thank you for you, Almighty God, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, Father, our Creator, the great I am, the true and the living God. We thank you and we praise you, Father, just for who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Rapture ready. Rapture ready. We gonna do a little preview to lead us up to where we left off. and we talked about the word rapture, we'll start off by saying that there are words in the Christian vocabulary that are not actually in the Bible. And one of those words is the word rapture. Rapture is the catching up of believers by Christ at the time of his return. The catching up of believers. And in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, we actually read the definition of what we call the rapture. So let's go over that again. In verse 16, actually, we're going to start in verse 14. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So here's the definition. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is the first thing that will happen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are born again and have, as people say, gone on to glory, they died, said they will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So this is the definition of the word rapture. The catching up of believers by Christ at the time of his return. And so another word that we talked about was the word Trinity. And that's actually where we left off, talking about the word Trinity, and we established who God was, we established who Jesus was, and we established who Holy Spirit was. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit, who is also called the Holy Ghost. So let's start there where we left off. 1 John 5th chapter, starting at verse 1. 1 John the 5th chapter, starting at verse 1, talking about identifying who you are. And it reads, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So right here we're talking about Jesus the Son and God the Father. It says, whoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. So we're talking about Jesus and God. Verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It says they're not grievous. You're not complaining about living right. You're not complaining about doing what's right. It's not grievous to you. Verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith. That's what overcometh the world. Our faith. And what's faith? Full assurance and true heart. God says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now this is the third person. So we talked about God the Father. We talked about Jesus the Son. So now we're talking about Holy Spirit. It says, and it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is true. Now verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, God the Father, the Word, God the Son, who is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So it's saying God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. That's the definition of the word Trinity. So let's look at another one. Triune being. Triune being says that we as human beings are called triune beings. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7. Genesis, second chapter, verse 7. And it reads, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So right there, the forming of man of the dust of the ground, that's called a body. So we see a body here. Then it goes on to say, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. So God has formed this body. Now God is breathing into this body through his nostrils the breath of life, which is called the Spirit of God. The breath of God is the Spirit of God. Then it goes on to say, and man became a living soul. So right there we see a body, we see a spirit, and we see a soul. So that's where the word triune being comes from. We're spirits who have souls and live in a body. Spirit, soul, body. That's called a triune being. Now, the next word we're about to get into is called homosexuality. Homosexuality. We've said that there are words in the Christian vocabulary that are not actually in the Bible. So we've talked about the word rapture, and we gave the definition of the word rapture. We talked about the word Trinity, and we gave the definition of the word Trinity. We talked about triune being, and we gave that definition. Now, we're going to talk about the word homosexuality or homosexual. Let's go to Romans, first chapter. Talking about identifying who you are, being rapture ready. Romans 1, starting at verse 18, and it reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, because being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Without excuse. So the invisible things of God have been made to be clearly seen so that we will have no excuse of who God is. Verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God," says, when they knew God, "they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." These are talking about false gods, idols, "and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Some idols are made of birds, Some are made of certain images of certain beings, a man or a woman. In the wilderness, the Israelites created one made out of gold, but it looked like a calf. So anything that is put before God, that is worshiped instead of God, is an idol. Could be a TV. Could be a phone. And I say a phone because a phone has access to the internet. A phone has access to Facebook. A phone has access to YouTube. A phone has access to pornography. So anything that's put before God is called an idol. Could be food. Could be a car. Could be a house. Could be a person. So let's continue. Verse 24 says, wherefore also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God. There we go. Change the truth of God. Last week we established that in Revelation 22 and 18. Let's read that right quick. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. And it reads, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So last week we talked about how it's not just speaking of adding words or taking away words, but the adding and taking away of those words, changing the meaning of what the Bible is saying. We talked about one translation, the New World Translation, how that one small letter in St. John 1 and 1 reads, said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Well, that small letter, A, changes the whole meaning of what that scripture is actually saying. So what this is saying, going back to Romans, the first chapter, it says changing the truth in verse 20, where we at, 25. Well, no, in verse 21. because that when they knew God. Let me find where we left off. Verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God, changed the truth of God, the meaning, the understanding of what God's word is saying, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So that's what it's talking about, changing the truth of God. Verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. So when you get to the point, the place where you're changing the truth of God, you're changing the meaning, the understanding of what God's word is saying. Next it says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Shame, reproach, dishonor. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Listen to this. It says, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Against nature, natural use. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was me. So you have to change the truth. You have to change the meaning and the understanding of what the word of God is saying in order for you to live the type of life that you want to live, that you want to live. So that sounds like a choice. Someone is choosing to change the truth of God. Verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, listen to this, God gave him over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. See, God does not leave us. Says he will never leave nor forsake us. But we can choose to leave him. Says he gave him up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So if someone is in God's hand, no one can pluck them out. But God is not a forceful God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's not a forceful God. So he's not going to forcefully stop someone from choosing to walk away. That's what a lot of people don't understand. It's a choice. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about CDC choices, decisions, consequences. So we look at that and we see that here. The choice that was made as they decided to change the truth of God, the consequences is God turned them over to a reprobate mind. And so when we see here, it talks about verse 26, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And verse 27 says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust toward one another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So, the word homosexuality or homosexual is not in the Bible, but this is the definition of what that word is. They have letters in that particular community that they call themselves, LGBTQIAPK. LGBTQIAPK. The L is for lesbian, the G is for gay, the B is for bisexual, the T is for transgender, the Q is for queer, the I is for intersex, the A is for asexual, the P is for pansexual or polyamorous, and the K is for kink. These are what the letters of the homosexual community stands for. Christ does not live in reprobates. Christ does not live in reprobates. Let's look at Romans 12 and 12. No, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So if we're presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy is not men with men. Holy is not women with women. It says, acceptable unto God. God does not accept men with men. God does not accept women with women because he created male and female to be together with each other. That's the natural use. Men and women, not men and men, or not women and women. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. A lot of people call this hate speech. But how can it be hate when this is coming from the Word of God? God is love. So God loved us so much that he gave. So this is what he gave us. He gave us his word to live by. But it says that men and women changed that truth. That has nothing to do with God. Born this way. That's what a lot of those who are in that community say. They were born this way. Well, let's go to St. John, third chapter. St. John, the third chapter, starting at verse 1. Talking about identifying who you are. And it reads, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So right here he recognizes and understands who Jesus is. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. These are the words of Jesus. Verse 4 says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? That's the natural mind thinking. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Here's the answer. Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, that water is the word of God, the washing of the watering of the word. That's what cleanses. That's what purifies. And then says of the Spirit. The Spirit is Holy Spirit, who we establish that God breathed into man. So without those two, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. So that covers it all. Even if someone believes that they were born a certain way, it doesn't mean that they changed the truth of God. It doesn't mean that they changed their natural sex. It says that they must be born again. It's spiritual. It's not natural. The mind and the heart and the spirit must be changed, not body parts. Genesis 1, Genesis 1, verse 26. And it reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Well, who is us and who is our? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Trinity. Says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, God blessed the man and the female, which he created to be together. Said, he blessed them, and God said unto them, he said unto the man and the female, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Well, how can they do that? Through the means of coming together as what we call sex. This is the purpose of God creating a male and a female. This is the natural use of a man and a female, that they will be fruitful and that they will multiply and that they will replenish the earth. This is the purpose. Genesis 2 and 8 says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God placed the man that he created in a particular place. So where has God planted you? And he put him there to take care of the garden, to cultivate, to nourish it, to watch over it, to guard it, to protect it. Where has God placed you? Now let's go to Genesis 3 and 6. And it reads, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So says that when she saw the tree, when she saw how desirable that tree was, it was pleasant to the eyes and good for food, says she took it and ate from it. But God had already said when he created it, in verse 9, chapter 2, says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So he made it pleasant to the sight. So God placed man in the garden. And he said, look at all of this. Pleasant to the sight. So he gazed across the garden. And he saw how beautiful the trees were. And how pleasant and how desirable they look. But then in Genesis 3 and 6, it says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. See, there's a difference. There's a difference. She fixed her eyes on the tree. She gave it an attentive look. She watched it and studied it closely and contemplated and considered. She got distracted. And then it says that she gave that fruit to the man. So the man got distracted. They lost their identity. Because Satan asked, did God say? They knew the word, but the truth was changed. Identifying who you are. This is what God wants. He wants us to identify who we are, made in the image and the likeness of who he is. Holy, righteous, that's our identity. That's our identity. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. So we've identified who we are. Next week, we're going to talk about knowing who you are in this preparation of being rapture ready. Rapture ready. Identifying who you are. Now that you know who you are, walk in it. Wherever you plant it, cultivate, take care of, protect, sow seeds, which is the word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for giving us your identity, for calling us your own, sons and daughters. Now help us, Father, to walk in this earth, reproducing sons and daughters, replenishing the earth. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for revelation. Now, as we go through this week, Father, use us for your glory. Use us for your glory, God. That when someone sees us, they will ask, what must I do to be saved? We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Identifying who you are. Rapture ready. Love you. Talk to you next week. God bless you. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard.